This morning, I want to direct your attention to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. To give the setting here just a little bit, Israel was under condemnation by God and told that they were going to go into captivity. And even though some had already been carried away, there were false prophets among them who kept saying, oh, they're not going to come back. We're going to be safe. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And of course, eventually, they were carried off and Jerusalem was destroyed completely. But Jeremiah, the prophet, whom God had sent amongst them, cried out amongst them to warn about the false prophets. And he says of the false prophets, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. This, of course, is God speaking through him, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. On the 10th of April, 1912, the RMS Titanic, a British passenger liner, was launched for her maiden voyage. A passenger by the name of Thompson Beatty wrote home, we are changing ships and coming home in a new unsinkable boat. White Star Line, who was the line for which this ship sailed, had a publicity brochure that was produced in 1910 for the twin ships, the Olympic and the Titanic. And it says, and this is an actual picture of it here, the latter, speaking of the Titanic, will make her maiden voyage July 1911. And as far as it is possible to do so, these two wonderful vessels are designed to be unsinkable. On the 15th of April in 1912, while sailing in the North Atlantic Ocean with more than 2,224 passengers and crew on board, at 11:40 p.m., ship's time, they collided with an iceberg. Of course, many people wondered, well, what was that? And those who had bought into the hype that the ship was unsinkable were saying, why, it's nothing. Don't worry. Everything's under control. Within 2 hours and 40 minutes, 710 people had left the ship. 1,514 others perished with the ship. This, by the way, is a sketch that was based on what an observer described who saw it firsthand. I perceive that this is much like the false prophets we just read about in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, who cried, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But notice that God said they had only healed the hurt of my people slightly. We as human beings naturally crave for peace. It's a natural thing. And for that reason, we all like to hear good news. And, you know, it used to be that they said that good news travels fast and bad news travels faster. Well, you know, believe it or not, in today's world, the days of the internet and social media, actually, good news travels faster than bad news now. Isn't that amazing? Kind of speaks about our world and where things are going. But, you know, this is something that is talked about in the Proverbs. The wise man of old wrote in Proverbs 25:25, as cold water is to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Notice the likeness there. You know what it's like on a hot day and you're tired and you get a cup of cold water. That's just so refreshing. Well, good news is like that. In Proverbs 15 and verse 31, I'm sorry, it's 15:30. I made a mistake there. I'm sorry. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. And this is how good news is. But now I said all that to say this. The word gospel means good news. It means good news. But what does it say? Well, in essence, what it says is we can be saved. But you ask, saved from what? The angel of the Lord said to Joseph in Matthew 1 and verse 21 that his wife would bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The salvation that we stand in need of is from our sins. And the fact is, the gospel says, we can be forgiven. But somebody says, well, what do you mean forgiven? I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. Well, in the first general epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, John wrote, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that's a blanket statement. And I want you to keep in mind, John was writing to Christians. So, he says, if Christians say we have no sin, they're simply deceiving themselves. And consequently, the truth does not lie within them. But you know, as it is in the world, so it is with other things. Good news is not always right news. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the false prophets were telling the people in Jerusalem good news. Good news! Everything's great. Don't worry about it. Don't look at those armies coming afar off. Just don't worry about it. Everything's good. Peace, peace, peace. Well, that was good news. But it wasn't the right news. It wasn't the right news. The false prophets simply agreed with the wishes of their hearers. But, notice, God said they have healed my people slightly. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant what the prophet said would make them feel good temporarily. Only slightly. Simply telling people what they want to hear does no lasting good whatsoever. In describing the perilous times to come, which Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verses 2 through 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So it is with man today. He wants to hear good news. So when somebody says, peace and safety, peace and safety, send me all your money and you'll get rich. That's pretty common on the television. People buy into that because to them that's good news. That's good. But it's not right news. It's only good because it's what they want to hear. And of course, look at the disaster that it contains. Turning their ears away from the truth. False prophets, by their very nature, appealed to the pride of the populace. In Proverbs 28, the wise man wrote, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with his tongue. These people seem to think that the way to do this was to flatter everyone and tell them, oh, look how great you look, and look how wonderful everything is. But they weren't doing them any good. The one who does them good is the one who rebukes them for what they're doing wrong. But what did the prophets say? Well, they promised them pleasant things. Oh, they told them things that made them feel good. And here's the best part of all. What the prophets said required no reformation of character whatsoever. No, you don't have to change. What that Jeremiah keeps saying, don't listen to him. You don't have to change. Everything's great. Everything's great. I mean, honestly, look around you. We're safe inside this city, and everything's great. What really comes down to is this. They're just like people today. We like the easy diet. One of my favorites was the pie diet. I'll tell you about that sometime. But we like simple cures. If somebody comes up with a cure for something, that requires that you do this and do that, and you buy this and you buy that, and you go, forget it. That's too complicated. Give me a pill. Give me something to drink. Let's do it simple. But the prophet says, there's no apparent danger here. What are you worried about? No apparent danger. Everything's fine. In fact, Peter talks about this in 2 Peter 3 and 4, how the people go around saying, well, now just a minute, where's the promise of his coming? Have you seen him lately? Seriously now. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that kind of sounds like those prophets over there in Jerusalem, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But what do you suppose was happening on the Titanic when the ship hit the iceberg? People were thinking, this ship is unsinkable. One crewman on the ship, standing at the rail after the ship had collided with the iceberg, was quoted by a survivor, a passenger, as saying, God himself could not sink this ship. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Same thing. When did they really know that the ship was sinking? And when did they tell them it was sinking? Well, when it was absolutely too late. It was absolutely too late to do anything about it. But sometimes good news is bad news. Now, think about this for a moment. How can you prepare for something if you don't know about it? That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? And we talk about earthquake preparedness and, you know, the people in the mudslide areas, you know, being prepared and so forth. Well, they know that that's a possibility. We all know that an earthquake could come at any moment, and how few of us are really prepared. But how many more people could have been saved on the Titanic? How many more could have been saved? Now remember, only 710 escaped out of over 2,000. But what happened? And, well, the shipbuilders decided that, quote, lifeboats were too cumbersome and unnecessary. Lifeboats were cumbersome and unnecessary. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. Now, honestly, let's just face the facts. Wouldn't you like to hear that the ship you're on is unsinkable? Wouldn't you like to hear that? Well, absolutely you would. You want to hear this. But what if it does sink? What if it does? You know, that was something that they just didn't bother to think about. What if it does? What are you going to do then? Well, sometimes bad news is good news. For instance, I'll just give you an example. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. Why is it bad news? Well, because John says we all sin. And if we say we don't, the truth isn't in us. Okay? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, well, let's see then. That bad news really comes out good. Because there's something I can do about this. There's something I can do. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26, Jesus likens everyone who hears what he says and does not do it to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, as opposed to the man who built his house on the rock. When the storm came and the rain started coming down and the water started coming, what happened to that house on the rock? Look, you stood right there. Jesus said, that's the person who hears what I say and does what I say. But this fellow over here hears what I say and does not do it. He has a house on the sand, and what happens to him? He's washed away. His house falls down. It's ruined. Well, that's exactly how Jesus looked at this. There is really only one reason why we tell anyone their faults. You know why that is? To help them. That's what it is. That's the only reason we should tell them. And in Matthew 18, look at what Jesus says here now. Okay? 18:15. He said, now you go, if your brother sins against you, and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And notice, he says alone. He didn't say drag him out in public square and give him a good chewing out. No, he says alone. You take him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Why do you do this? You want to gain your brother. That's why you're doing it. You're not doing it to whip up on him. You're not doing it to be mean to him. This man has sinned. You have seen this sin. You are concerned about this man. And so you take him alone and deal with it. That is the whole purpose of pointing out people's sin, is to help them. Help them. But you know, we talked about this natural craving that we have for peace. And I have good news. Our natural craving for peace can be satisfied. That's right. It can. One thing it requires, though, is patience. And it's not like the fellow who said, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Patience means patience. We talked about that some length in class this morning, in the adult class. But, you know, I remember, in essence, this very thing being told me, and I've seen it repeated many times before, or since, I'm saying, and that is that anything of any value takes time and patience and sometimes suffering. My dad used to say, anything worth having is worth working for. Saying the same thing. Okay? In Revelation 2 and 10, a passage that we have been talking about in our Wednesday evening class. Sunday morning class. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. The devil's about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What is he saying there? No matter how bad it gets, even if the devil causes you to be cast into prison, remember, your punishment won't be a long thing. That's what 10 days means. In other words, it is a time period that is you're able to comprehend, a short time period. But the key to this is, even in the face of death, which many of them had to face, be faithful. And what will be the result? The Lord says, I will give you the crown of life. That takes patience. And remember this morning, as we talked about this in our adult class, this patience does not mean just putting up with. It literally means patient endurance. It has the word long-suffering connected with it too, by the way. And so what we're talking here is about, with joy in our heart, knowing that we have something far better beyond this world, we are willing to endure whatever it takes to serve God, even if it means death. Now, what does that give us? It gives us peace. Why? Because we're not living in fear all the time that something's going to happen. No, we don't. If it happens for the cause of Christ, so be it. So be it. Stand up in the face of death and say, okay, all you can do to me is kill me. You can't take away my eternal salvation. And that's the way it is. And you know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. People who do that are to be admired. And we see cases of this in history. Time and time and time again. But you know, something else is required for us to have that peace that we want. Peace means that we don't walk around with something on our conscience all the time. And how do we get rid of that? Well, we get rid of that through repentance. That's how we get rid of it. We understand that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to change the way you think and start thinking His way. That's what we're saying in essence here. And when you start thinking His way, you're not going to do anything that offends Him. And be assured, as Romans 2 and verse 4 says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God's patience with you, His forbearance and long-suffering with you, read the rest of the verse, that's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And we might also think about something that we need for peace, and that is, to put it in real simple terms, renewal. Renewal. Now, by this, I'm referring to Romans 12 and verse 2. where Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. And what is the result? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? It means your mind is renewed in that it thinks the way God's will thinks, which is the way God thinks. And it is renewed day by day, day by day. It's a continual process. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. You know what the word holy means? It comes from the word translated sanctified, set apart for God, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That'll bring peace. That'll bring peace. And, of course, to have peace with God also requires obedience. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus pointed this out very plainly. His Father, God the Father has always required obedience of His people. There's no question. But in Matthew 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to enter in then, Jesus? But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's it right there. Jesus said, if you're just crying out, Lord, Lord, and thinking I'm doing all these wonderful things in your name, Lord, I got news for you. You're not doing the will of the Father. So, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, on another occasion, this is often overlooked. And that's why I want to include it in this point right here. On another occasion, Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 21, my mother, my brothers, are these who hear the word of God and do it. They hear the word of God and do it. How can you be any plainer than that? There's where peace is. You want peace? There's the good news. You can have it. You can have it. In fact, in real simple terms, here is God's simple plan for the salvation of the souls of men. This is it. Obviously, you must hear the gospel, the good news. If you don't hear it, you're not going to want to do anything about it. That's why Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, that brings about faith or belief. You must believe the good news. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Plain and simple. Must believe. But what comes after that? Well, we must also repent. In Acts 17:30, the Apostle Paul said, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. That's that change of mind we talked about earlier. The change of mind. We also are taught to confess our faith in Jesus in Romans 10 and 10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then what else? Well, in 1 Peter 3:21, we are told that there is a like figure whereunto we are now saved, which is baptism. Now, no matter what your version says there, it comes out the same way. There is an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism would have no validity if Jesus is not raised from the dead. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now remember, Jesus promised in Mark 16:16 that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. What could engender peace more than knowing that God has forgiven every sin you have ever committed? And that in that condition, you have a very real hope. Now, hope is desire and expectation of a home in heaven. And that is, like we read in Revelation 2 and 10, if we remain faithful unto death. There it is for you. Just as simple as that. You want to have peace? Real peace? Well, don't listen to the world that keeps crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What they offer you will not bring peace with God. And it will not bring peace of mind to you that will last. There will be disastrous results, I'm afraid. Leave the lesson with you this morning. You've been very attentive. I appreciate it very much. If you're not yet a child of God, you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we've presented it to you from His Word this morning, we stand ready always, and now, of course, to assist you in your obedience. We'd be happy to hear your confession of faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you might be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins.